Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And a very good morning to you this first Saturday of the new year for Leading Edge Medicine. Dr. Jerry Mixon, fresh off the airplane just hours ago, back from your adventure, and Dr. Samira Umat taking the weekend off. You literally did get back late last night.
I did get back late last night, and yes, I'm still a little jet lagged.
Very good. It was the Christmas holiday with the whole family.
Yes, we went down and did a 14-day Caribbean cruise.
Fun.
Which was really quite nice.
Yes.
And lost track. I think we hit 9 or 10 islands in 14 days. So yeah, had a very, very nice time.
Wonderful.
But it was too long. I came back extremely rested, extremely anxious to get back to work.
Okay, you were ready.
And yeah, so I've got lots of ideas, some emails. I've been switching back and forth, and we're ready to get busy and make things grow.
That's right. For this new year, right?
This year, I've got about 3 years of very aggressive growth plans for both of my companies.
Okay. So, yes. We might have to talk about that. Let me quickly give the phone number here for listeners who have been waiting to call in on this show. Dr. Mixon here live. Dr. Umat is off this weekend. Here is that number. It's 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. All right, Dr. Mixon, what's making news or what have you seen? Maybe some observations. You were in the Caribbean for a while.
Yeah.
Was it hard to come back or were you excited
and
ready?
I was excited to get back to America.
Okay.
Warmth, sunshine, turquoise water, that's always very nice. But these islands, they are generally poor, pretty regressive compared to what we have in America. And I just, makes me very grateful to be an American and to have the privileges we have and the opportunities we have. But I also would spend a lot of time reflecting on, my compatriots on board the ship. And one of the things that struck me was the amount of morbid obesity in the people on the cruise ship, because they tend to be older. We had our little 12-year-old with us, of course, and there were a few other families with younger children there, but the vast majority of the people spending their holiday on a 14-day cruise were older and way, way, way overweight and debilitated in their ability to move and do things. And that was brought home to me rather graphically with one day we were supposed to be on an island. It was an island where we didn't have a port that we could dock the ship, so we were supposed to go in by tender. But the water was a bit rough, and so the captain decided not to even go to the island that day because he was afraid that our older, fragile, overweight group of people, someone would get hurt because the tender would be rocking up and down, back and forth, and their ability to get on the tender and then off the tender at the other side would be impaired. My 12-year-old was really upset about it, She just said, you know, why can't they just do it? It's water's not that rough. We can just hop on and hop off. And I had to point out to her that many of those passengers could not physically. They might be willing to try, but there were going to be people getting hurt because the mobility, the ability to jump and balance and coordinate in this very overweight elderly population, just not going to work. And the captain is responsible for the health and safety of everybody on board that ship. And he simply couldn't take the chances. Now, I had trouble getting that across to a 12-year-old. She thinks everybody as spry as she is and, you know, could at least function as well as her daddy.
Yes, and her, yeah.
And her daddy is somewhat abnormal in his abilities. And that got me thinking, why am I abnormal? Why is it that the average 77-year-old American can't hop up in the morning and go run a few miles? Why can the average American in their 70s not do chin-ups, not lift their body weight with relative ease? Why do so many people in my age group have these great big rotund bellies and broad, broad butts? You know, why is their balance so poor? Why don't they have the strength and the agility that we take for granted in my family? And the more I thought about it, the more irritated I became by the fact that I should not be unusual. Every person in their 70s and 80s in America should be able to run and jump and leap and cavort and dance and make love and have a robust physical life. And it's sad and it's unnecessary. I wish that we could give every single American the life that I'm enjoying. But we can't, in part because of the choices people are making. And, you know, it occurred to me that Robert Kennedy Jr. Wants to address this on one side of the spectrum. He wants to get the additives and the chemicals and the artificial colors and stuff out of our food. And I certainly have no objection to that.
Yes.
I would like it if everybody ate a healthier, more natural diet. But it's more than that. That's not going to solve the problem. You know, I live in this modern world. I eat foods that are processed and so on. It is indeed the hormone balancing. It is indeed the rapamycin. It is indeed the lifestyle choices that we make. And we need to fix it. And so I was chatting with Sebastian Gorka yesterday. Mm. And Sebastian and I were kind of visiting a little bit about this, his new role in the administration. Now, he's not going in on the health side. He's going in on the anti-terrorism. He's going to be an advisor to President Trump in regard to avoiding terrorist attacks and the risks we have here. But I chatted with Sebastian several years ago about his weight and his fitness. And, you know, back when we started him on Relief Factor, I had the same discussion with Larry Elder several years ago about the fact that, you know, Larry, you need to get rid of your belly and get lean. And they've both taken it to heart. And Sebastian is, you know, 6'5" or so. And
mm-hmm. He's tall.
Lean and strong and muscular. And, you know, Relief Factor has gotten rid of his back pain, so he's able to be more physically active. Larry, it was his knees that were causing him problems. But they both changed their lifestyle. And they both changed their diet. And even in our modern world with our processed foods, it is possible to take the weight off and be lean and strong and fit. And so when I was chatting with Sebastian, I asked him if he knew Robert Kennedy, because Robert's going to be taking over the Department of Health and Welfare and be responsible for the FDA and the CDC and all of these agencies, and also in the food safety and health of America. And so He has promised me that he's going to do what he can to see if he can get me an audience, get me some time with Bobby Kennedy, to see if we can make government policy that a lean, fit, healthy America should be our goal. So yes, address it from the regulatory standpoint, but also let's see if we can get the federal government to make obesity as unpopular as smoking.
Yeah.
You know, the last Surgeon General we had that really addressed smoking was C. Everett Koop back in the late 70s or early 80s. I forget exactly when he was in. But he single-handedly addressed the smoking threat to America's health and made it a real issue for the federal government. And I think we need to do the same thing with our obesity problem, with our overweight problem. Because the thing that really irritates me is we have a lot of attention spent and a lot of money being spent on healthcare, but we have the 60th, not the second or third, the 60th longest lifespan on the world stage.
Wow.
59 countries have citizens who live longer than America. And these are not countries in which medical care is free. Some of them are socialized, some of them are not. Some of these are second world countries with very limited, relatively rudimentary medical care systems, and yet their citizens live longer, healthier lives than America.
Wow.
Okay? It's not who's paying for health care that makes the difference. It's the weight.
Mm.
Pure and simple. The big reason Americans are dying at 76 when 59 other countries are living to 84 and 85 as their median lifespans, you know, 9 and 10 years longer than America, and they have fairly rudimentary health care. The difference is we are the fattest industrialized country in America, on the world, and the fat is causing dementia, strokes, heart attacks, diabetes, degenerative joint disease, the cancers. The vast majority of our chronic health problems are caused by our excess weight in this country. We need to address that. And I'd like to see that to be a focus for the health departments of the United States.
Very good. Wow. Dr. Mixon, have you been tapped yet for the cabinet?
No, and I'd refuse if
okay.
they did.
Wow. All right. We will be back with your questions about your health on Leading Edge Medicine. Here's that number to get through, 1-206-421-5757. Stay right there. Leading Edge Medicine continues. Dancing Queen is not here. Dr. UMass.
No, she's not.
No, we'll get her next week, right?
She'll be here.
That's right.
So will I.
Oh, yes. It's Leading Edge Medicine. Thank you for your calls. We have quite a few already ready to go. Here's that number to get into the call, Q206-421-5757. We're going to start off the show with Lee calling in. Good morning, Lee. How can we help?
Hello, Lee.
Well, carry over from the other station a few minutes ago. But
we can give you a few more minutes now.
The background music you just played, that was awesome. I was on X, and there was a guy roller skating, and he was roller skating to that. He looked like he was probably, you know, late 50s or whatever.
Uh-huh.
It's like, that was me. At
there
the same
go.
Rollers.
Yes.
Yeah, listening to the same music. It was fun.
Yes. Well,
you know,
anyways,
go ahead. Let me throw something just for fun, though. By Dancing Queen and ABBA has a special place in my heart. Okay.
I
being a bit of a science nerd, I'm chronically way behind the curve on popular music. I I don't know anybody, and I don't know artists. And I, 20 years ago when I met my wife, I had never heard of ABBA. I knew no ABBA music. And our second date, you know, our first date was 10 days on the island of Crete, and our second date was 2 weeks in Venice. We've had an unusual dating life. But she's 29, 30 years my junior. And yep. When she met me in Venice for our second date, she brought some ABBA music. And that was the first time I had ever heard ABBA. And I had not heard Dancing Queen or any of those things. And so every time I hear ABBA, I'm suddenly transported back to the little apartment we had in Venice, where every morning she would put on the ABBA music and serve me this incredibly fattening coffee out on the balcony of our apartment, looking over the piazza in Venice. You know? And let me describe this coffee to you. She would take two egg yolks and a couple of teaspoons of sugar and whip the egg yolks and sugar together, an incredibly fat, sweet combination. And then pour the coffee over this whipped egg yolk and sugar, and then add a little bit of real cream on top of that. And I had never really been a coffee drinker, so she seduced me into coffee this super mixture of sweet, fat coffee on the patio in Venice to the sounds of ABBA.
And ABBA music is the thing again. It's come back around.
And so every time I hear music, I am suddenly transported to a balcony on Venice with this beautiful young woman who is treating me as though I am the most valuable creature on God's green earth. So you might expect ABBA has a really warm, special part in my heart.
There you go. I would think so. Does she still make the coffee for you, Dr. Mixon?
She does not make that because she is too cautious about my weight.
Okay.
She will not let me get fat.
All right. Takes good care of you.
She does indeed. She still treats me after 20 years of marriage as though I am the most valuable creature on planet Earth. And she's very aggressive about it. If I get out of the shower and she sees any fat on my belly, she reaches out, taps me on the belly and says, "Fat." Now, I know that she's Chinese and that, you know, they have a reputation for subtleties. But as Caucasian men go, I'm relatively perceptive and I recognize that when she taps me on the belly and says, "Fat," I get the feeling that perhaps she would like to see that hard, flat belly again.
There you go.
So, yes, it's the carrot and the stick, you know. But she treats me to a homemade cappuccino twice a day, chocolate and cinnamon. I get black coffee with the breakfast that she fixes me every morning, and then she tops it off with a cappuccino before I go out to do my morning run. And then every evening when I come home, while I'm reviewing the news and looking at journal articles, she fixes me a second cappuccino, chocolate and cinnamon, a little bit sweet, that I sip while I'm doing my evening studies. So,
That sounds good. We need one of those right now.
I think so. I think so. But I've already had my first one this morning. So
there you go.
Okay.
All right. Okay, Lee, how can we help you? Let's talk about, maybe we can let our new listeners know what Lee was talking about on our other show.
Yeah, Lee, you were discussing, you know, some abnormalities in stool and two and three and occasionally four stools a day, sometimes sinkers and sometimes floaters, and kind of wondering what was behind some of that. And did I have any ideas about your frequent bowel habit, the good or the bad? I'm going to make a guess because I have not run over your supplement list, but you did mention to me that you were taking magnesium regularly. And magnesium is poorly absorbed from the bowel. And what it does is that magnesium sits in the gut. It pulls water into the colon. And that excess water stimulates the bowel and gives you a looser stool. And I suspect that your multiple times a day of stool habit is probably related to some extent to the amount of magnesium that you have in your supplement regimen. Okay. Magnesium is very good at decreasing muscle spasm. It makes people relax. It actually has some very benign impact on brain function and on muscle function, but it stimulates the bowel and will often give you frequent loose stools.
Okay. Oh, and we just lost Lee.
Okay.
So hopefully that will answer his question.
Yeah, so that's what I suspect is going on with him.
All right. Thank you for the question, Lee. We are headed over to Marie now. She has a question for the doctor. Hi, Marie. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine.
Hello, Marie. How can we help you?
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I'm the one that keeps calling about the think factor.
Oh, yes, you are excited about this.
I will give you an update on think factor.
Yes.
I was notified during my trip that think factor has finally arrived at the warehouse.
Yay!
It's only a year later than I had expected it, but it is now in the warehouse. The next step is going to be to set up those cognitive tests. And let me give you my latest plans on the cognitive tests, Lee.
Okay.
Because they do cost something. Mm-hmm. The last time, a year ago, we were talking about it, it was $25 each time the test was done. I would encourage people to get the test before they start the Think Factor, again at 3 months and again at 6 months. Because the first component of the Think Factor should improve some aspects of brain function within the first 3 months. And then the second component comes into play later and improves other aspects of your brain function that we could probably measure pretty effectively at 6 months. So here's what I would like to do. I want to cover the cost of the initial, the 3 month, and the 6 month brain studies for the first 100 people that are put on Think Factor. And I want to do that for my own benefit, because people that will avail themselves of that have to agree that I can use the data in my marketing. As I start selling that stuff nationally, I want to be able to say, you know, this person did well, this person did really well, this person did stupendous, etc. And so I want to have the first 100 people to agree that if they get good benefit, that I will pay for all 3 tests. I'll even provide the first 6 months of their Think Factor for free. But they have to agree to do marketing for me and let me use videos of them with their results.
Wow.
Okay.
That's so, pretty generous.
Yes, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. So I know you've been interested about this. You've called us several times.
Yeah, Marie, we need to put you on the top of our list.
Yes. Yeah, so if you will,
thank you.
If you will go to our website, go to contact us, and explain a little bit about it, and say, you know, you're interested in being that first 100 people cohort, and you'd like to get your testing paid free, and in return, you'd be willing to market, if you get a good results, to say so on the air for us, then we'll put you on that list of the first 100 freebies.
Okay. Mike, I had a quick, I went to your website this morning and didn't, you know, I went under products and the new news,
yeah,
so I didn't see anything. Okay, so just send you guys an email under Contact Us.
Go to Contact Us, get the email. The rest of you listeners out there, I want in that 100 people, here's how I'm kind of hoping and how I want to break it. I want to get about a third of them to be current patients, because current patients were already doing things to improve their brain function. So I'd like to get a feel for where their brain function is. And does this help even people that are already doing what we do? That's just important for me to know. I'd like about a third of the people to be older people that are not patients, but are not doing anything else specifically for their brain. And let's see how they do. And then I'd like about a third
60,
of the...
Well, I'm 60, so...
Well, you're a kid, but you'll fit. Anybody over 50 is in that other group. And then I'd like to get a group of people, about a third, probably the kids or grandkids of my listeners, people in their 30s and 40s up to about 50 to see what the impact is on their brain function. So about 30 people that are patients, 30 people that are young and non-patients, and 30 people that are older and non-patients.
It's
getting exciting, isn't it, Marie?
Yes, Lynette, it is. I appreciate that. Well, I will send that email today, and thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome. Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. We'll take a quick break here and then back with more of your phone calls. Here's that phone number, 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. We're going to talk about kidney health when we return with Dr. Mixon on Leading Edge Medicine. Stay right there.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again.
And we're back. We're not on the road. We're back from
Yes,
literally back. You popped off the plane just hours ago, right, Dr. Mixon?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, and that jet lag hasn't kicked in yet.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
It will.
We'll see.
I may take an hour nap later in the day.
There you go. Well, you might just need some think factor, and we were just talking about that before the break. Marie had called, very excited that it's in our warehouse.
Finally.
Let's talk about think factor a bit, Dr. Mixon.
You know, one of the problems that we have with aging is there is something called age-related cognitive decline. This is not a disease. You're not sick. You're not demented. But the older we get, the slower our brain functions. And we actually do start decreasing our mental skills in several different aspects. So the question is, what can we do about it? So a couple of years ago, I delved into the literature and I found some things that actually do have a significant impact on age-related cognitive decline. It's not for demented people. It was actually for people that are normal, but just want to be better than normal at their age.
Okay.
And so I found two really great compounds. One works pretty quickly, works within the first month or two, and it is acetylcholine, which is basically a precursor for acetylcholine, which is the active ingredient or the active compound in our brain that allows the nerves to talk to each other, the neurons to send signals back and forth. And as we age, those neurons start functioning more slowly. The acetylcholine levels in our brain is starting to decline. And so it was found that if you will kick those acetylcholine levels up, people will think faster and more efficiently and more accurately. One of the many studies that I pulled on this compound was actually done on medical students in their 20s. Now, these kids were smarter than the average bear to begin with, and they were quite young, so you wouldn't think they'd have age-related cognitive decline yet. But when they were put on the acetylcholine for a matter of a semester, at the end of 3 to 4 months, even these very bright young people had brains that were functioning faster and more efficiently and more accurately than they did without it. The same studies were done in people in their 50s, 60s, even up to their late 80s. So we just call that component one. That's one of the things in Think Factor. The other one is a compound that is normally used for eye health, for vision. It's a mixture of lutein and zeaxanthin. And it turns out that over the course of several months, this mixture builds up in your brain. And even older people now have more comprehensive executive abilities, able to handle complex problems, to move from one task to another more quickly. So, but that one works more slowly. So I said, you know what I'd like to do is to put these together into one compound, One that works fast, or relatively fast, within a few months. The other one that works slower over the first 6 months or so. And measure people's brain function before they start it. Measure them about 3 months in and measure them about 6 months. And my thinking is, there's a lot of people selling stuff out there that's supposed to make your brain function better, but they don't prove it. And there's a big placebo effect. A lot of people take something for their brain, and because they're taking it, they become convinced it's working. And so I'd say I'd like to offer people something that, along with proof, that it's actually working. Because if they take the tests and it helps, they should take it forever. They should never stop. If they're taking it for 6 months and it doesn't help, why would they want to take it? They should quit. Okay. So I'd like to be kind of evidence-based. So I would like to have every patient who decides to buy that product to be able to prove by an objective third-party person, the testing group that I'm using does their testing for Harvard and for Yale and for Stanford and for, you know, big-time institutions. So it's nothing that I own or control. And I'd say if it works, you should never stop taking it. And if it doesn't work, stop. But you still got to take it for 6 months to find out. I figure a significant number of people are just going to buy it and try it and see how they feel. Okay, I'd prefer if people are willing to test it and make sure, but I can't control what they do, and I can't control the decisions. But I'm willing to pay the first 100 people that want to be tested and see where they are in the beginning, where they are at 3 months, where they are at 6 months. And the first 100 people, I would pay for it. And my invested self-interest for putting out that money is pretty straightforward. If it's working for them, they have to be willing to let us use their voice and image. They have to be willing to go on the air and say, my name is so-and-so, and I've been taking this, and here's what my benefits are.
Yes,
and
yes.
That helps me to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So yeah, I'm willing to pay for the first 100 people just to get the data. And the quid pro quo is I give you the product, I pay for the testing, but then you have to be willing to market it for me.
Okay. That sounds good to me.
So, yeah.
Boy, when you feel good because you make changes and things are working, you want to tell everybody about it.
I would think so.
You would think so. Yes, yes.
So, but, you know, with everything in this world, you follow the money, and I'm, you know, not claiming that this is out of magnanimity and I'm not a saint. I want to sell lots and lots of the product, and I'm willing to give 100 people stuff free for 6 months to get them to help me to do it.
Okay. I like it.
So.
All right. Well, we'll talk more about this on our upcoming shows as well.
I'm sure we shall.
Yes. All right. We are going to take a break in a moment, but first let's get to John's question, and then we'll take our break. Let's find out what's going on. John calling in.
Hello, John. How do we help?
Hi there, John.
Good morning, everybody. Well, mine is a tale of pushing the limits.
Right.
I went to a nephrologist, allopathic, and he recommended it did CBC, CD, DMP tests. And for the first time, any allopathic doctor ever requested, check my vitamin D.
Ah.
The vitamin D came out at 126.
A little high.
Yes. But what really follows is that all along, the hospital I go to, Valley Medical, they start checking the EGFR up to 90. Mine was pretty consistently around 88, something like that. We graphed it out. It has descended to 72.
Okay.
So what that tells me is I'm really messing up. And so I've stopped all vitamin D for now. And I'm not going to take it for a while. I'm hoping that my body will rid the vitamin D from all my fat. not all of it, but, you know, I want to get it down to a level. But I mean, basically, I've been endangering my kidneys by, and here's what I was doing. I was taking up to 11,000
units a day.
IUs.
Yeah. Okay.
11 to 12,000 IUs a day.
All right. That's a mistake. That's a significant dose. Okay, we have to take a break. We've heard what your basic issues are. We're going to come back right after this break and let's discuss it a bit, okay? So we'll chat with you in about 2 minutes.
John, you stay right there. And if you are listening and you have a question for Dr. Jerry Mixon, today is the day to call. He is in the studio. Here is the number, 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. We'll be right back with more Leading Edge Medicine. And we're back with more Leading Edge Medicine. Dr. Jerry Mixon here. We're talking about kidneys and vitamin D. We've got John on the line.
All right. Okay, John, a couple of comments on what you said thus far. A GFR over 60 is considered normal. So, you know, the fact that you're running in the high 70s is still reassuring. So you are not in kidney failure. You don't have significant kidney disease, but it's not as good as it was a while back. So how much of that is related to your excessive vitamin D and how much is just, you know, bad luck of aging? I'm not sure, but the reassuring thing is you are well over 60, which is kind of the cut point at which point we start worrying about your kidney function. On the other hand, I don't usually like to see a vitamin D in the 120s. That does make me nervous. My own target for most of my people is between 60 and 90. And so, you know, if I can keep you in the 70s, I'm happy as a pig. That's what I'm shooting for. So yeah, your vitamin D is twice what I'm wanting it to be. So it should come down over time. This is why I recommend anybody taking vitamin D supplements should get their vitamin D checked at least twice a year. I usually check it in the spring to see what winter and our short days have done to you. And check it again in the fall to see where you are as you're going into winter. So, you know, that's just my recommendation for most of our patients. We check it twice a year. What else is there? Basically, kidneys are big bundles of very tiny blood vessels. Now, the kidney function is to, A, adjust your blood pressure. So it kicks out hormones that either constrict or dilate your arteries to bring your blood pressure within a good range. Because kidneys are made up of very, very tiny blood vessels, just big bundles of them. It's there to exchange, to osmotic exchange. So it's supposed to conserve most of the proteins, conserve some of the electrolytes, sodium, potassium, calcium, magnesium, and so on. If you get too much in your blood, your kidneys are supposed to dump the excess. If you don't have enough, it's supposed to conserve your deficiency so that your blood levels stay in a very narrow, healthy range. Because those vessels are so tiny, they're easily damaged. And so anything and everything we can do to improve the microcirculation in your body, it is in your eyes, in your brain, in your kidneys, in all of your tissues, there's arteriolar and capillary functions we need to do. And that's why I like to use some of the polyphenols like resveratrol and quercetin and so on, to help protect the endothelial function, that lining of these tiny arteries. So that's my commentary thus far on what you've told us. Now, what else can I help you with? Go ahead and continue your tale of woe.
Something that she did a number of iron tests. Uh-huh. I think there were four iron tests. I don't recall, but my ferritin was outside the normal range. It was down at 19.
Ooh,
how could my iron, my other iron tests be within range and my ferritin is down?
Well, ferritin is pretty sensitive. But there's a feedback loop between ferritin and homocysteine. So I always, if I see an abnormal ferritin, either high or low, I want to see where their homocysteine is. Because that has a lot to do with nitric oxide production. And the nitric oxide production has to do with vasodilatation, the ability of the blood vessels to expand and let more blood flow through versus contracting and minimizing blood flow to the tissues. So, yeah, when ferritin starts to drop, I get concerned about iron metabolism. But one other thing you always have to bear in mind, and that is, as I have said several times in the Today shows, nothing done to or by human beings is perfect, and that includes our laboratory testing. If all of your other iron studies are normal and the ferritin is low, I'd repeat the studies. Because when you repeat the studies, you'll sometimes find that that initial study showing that one out of four tests is off was itself off. And when you retest it, you may well find that things are indeed where they ought to be. So before I get too aggressive about intervening, I like to confirm the abnormality. Does that make sense?
It certainly does. If I found it necessary, does it do any good to take an iron supplement?
If your iron is low, yes. But
my heme iron, I think, is fine. It's in range. The other iron.
Sure. So if he's looking at your hemoglobin, your hematocrit, if he's looking at your CBC and all of your cellular indices are good, you don't have pale, small red blood cells, if the only thing off is the ferritin, then it makes me wonder if perhaps the ferritin study might be a glitch.
I need to include this. I'm a cancer patient. I'm on uh-huh. Keytruda. My blood, my CBC, the hematocrit, the blood cells, they're all low.
And that may well be then an effect of Keytruda. It's a checkpoint inhibitor. It's got a lot of side effects. And usually people on Keytruda are being covered by an oncologist / hematologist because of the high frequency of having blood cell dyscrasias of one sort or another. So, yeah, that is an important bit of information that we didn't have before. So, yes, visit with your oncologist or whoever's prescribing the Keytruda. It's a prescription I've never written. I'm roughly familiar with it because I have patients that are on it, but I'm not expert in its management. So, check with your hematologist, oncologist about that.
Okay. Now, what I find interesting is that I'm not being charged for the Keytruda. It's not on any of the formulary lists. Who's paying for it?
Well, your pharmaceutical company is basically donating it to you. It's really pretty interesting. These checkpoint inhibitors are in the charges from the pharmaceutical company are outrageous. I mean, you're talking about thousands of dollars a month. And so the profit margins are humongous. But they can compensate to some extent that if patients really need it and their insurance doesn't cover it, they give it to them at a significant discount or even for free. And that's the trade-off. People that can afford it pay for it. People that can't afford it can often get it as a freebie. And, that's the pro and the con of our high-priced pharmaceutical industry.
Okay. Yeah, that must be what's happening then. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Dr. Nixon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for the call. All right, we're getting close to 11 o'clock. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more of your calls on Leading Edge Medicine. Here's that number. It's 206-421-5757. We'll be right back with more questions.